Well, the Apostle Peter once urged the early church to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've been working our way through some of the attributes of God, my prayer is that we would do just that. That we would be growing not only in our heads, our heads would be gaining knowledge, but we'd also be growing in our hearts as well, as we've learned about things like the sovereignty of God and the immutability of God, how God doesn't change. We've learned about the knowledge of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, how God is unique and like no other. He's self-sufficient. All these things that facts, you could say, that we learn about God that go into our minds, I pray that they go more than just into our heads, but that they, by the grace of God, they reach our hearts so that our love for God increases and our devotion to God increases as we learn who God really is. Well, today's attribute that hopefully will affect our minds and our hearts is the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Well, how faithful is God? Well, he is as faithful as faithful can be, as faithful as anyone can be. He is absolutely faithful. Webster defines faithful this way. He says, maintaining allegiance to someone or something, constant or loyal. That's what's meant there by faithful. And while all of the attributes of God should encourage us as we think about who God is, I think it's safe to say that for many of us, when we think about the faithfulness of God, it brings great, great encouragement to our hearts and to our souls. And why is that? Because as we walk through life, we experience a lot of unfaithfulness, don't we? Whether it's perhaps in a marriage or in the family or in the workplace or maybe just between friends, we all experience degrees of unfaithfulness to one degree or another. And the reason why we experience unfaithfulness is because no one on this planet, no human being can say they are perfectly faithful all the time in every way. They can't say that. None of us can say that. Think of the most faithful person you know. Or let's take, for example, say a couple that has been married for 70 years. And we look into their lives and we say, now that is a faithful couple. But if we were to dig a little deeper, if we were to bring out the microscope, or if we were a fly on the wall, we might find that they're not quite as faithful as we think, or as we think they should, or that they are. The husband, let's say. Maybe he's never committed adultery on his wife. But yet in his heart, perhaps at times, he has lusted after other women, which Jesus called what? Adultery of the heart. Perhaps that wife, who when you see her in public, she's very polite and kind, and all she ever says is, yes, dear, when she's in the presence of her husband. But when you get behind closed doors, perhaps at times there's defiance and disrespect. Perhaps that husband, who is very lovey-dovey, oh, sweetie pie, you hear him say it all the time in public. But yet maybe behind closed doors, there's some harsh words that he's spoken to his wife. Perhaps that wife, who again may be very lovey-dovey when everyone's seeing her, and maybe filled with joy, but yet what we may not see is maybe she often nags her husband. And so what we see is there is degrees of unfaithfulness, even in a couple that has been married for 70 years, and we would call them faithful. And truth be told, all of us, each one of us here today, is unfaithful to at least a certain degree in every relationship that we have. But God. But God is always faithful, all the time, with everyone. It's amazing when you think about it. The Bible speaks much about the faithfulness of God. Let me just give you a couple verses to meditate upon. The first one is from Psalm 36, verse 5. David says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." And so the picture here David is painting is, hey, look up. Just go out and look up. Look up into the sky. You see that? Now look even further. Look way beyond that. That's like God's faithfulness. Beyond what we can even see, beyond what we can imagine. And the picture he's painting is it goes on forever. God's faithfulness goes on forever. Not only does it go up forever, but it goes horizontal forever as well. The next verse comes out of Psalm 117, verse 2. Here we see this: "For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord. Clearly, there are no limits to the faithfulness of God. It's a beautiful thing. And yet, when we compare that to our faithfulness, really, there's no comparison, because our faithfulness tends to go up and down on any given day, doesn't it? It fluctuates, our faithfulness, but not so with God. God is always faithful. Well, when we think about God's faithfulness, what does that mean for you and I who are in Christ? What does it mean for you and I when we think about God's faithfulness? For those of us who have been bought by the blood of Christ, who know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, our sins are forgiven, we're a part of the family of God. What does that mean? Well, number one, it means that God is faithful to us. And think of yourself, just think about you and know that God is faithful to you if you're in Christ. It's an incredible, amazing, amazing thought. It means that God will never turn his back on us. God will never walk away from us. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. As you read your Bible, you'll find lots of scriptures that speak of this truth of God's faithfulness to those who are in Christ. And I'd encourage you, as you read your Bible, look for all the times where you see God's faithfulness being spoken to you who know Jesus. But let me give you a couple this morning. The first one is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And the Apostle Paul says this: "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, though we don't find the word faithful in that verse, God's faithfulness is all over that verse. Because Paul is saying this to the church, to the believer. He's saying, I can be confident of this, that Lydia, if you have been saved by the grace of God, then God has begun a good work in you. And I am confident, I guarantee that God who started that work in you, he's going to finish the work in you. Why? Because he's faithful to do it. He's promised to finish it. How many of you have a project started that you haven't finished yet? Yes. How many of you have a project started long, long time ago that John's jumping up and down the back? Yeah. But how many, yeah, that you didn't finish yet? How many of you have a book that you've started that you haven't finished? I'm really bad. If you want to feel really good about yourself, really encourage, just go into my office and start looking at the books, and you'll see a lot of them have a bookmark like halfway through, because I got through it, then I went on to something else. I'm getting a little better, but I'm not the best at finishing books. But anyway, God will finish what he's begun every single time. It's guaranteed because he is faithful. The next verse comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Again, the Apostle Paul says, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." The reason why we can have confidence in the faithfulness of God is because it is impossible for God to be unfaithful. Just like as the writer of Hebrews says, it's impossible for God to lie. So too, it's impossible for God to be unfaithful because it is his very nature, it's his being, it's his character. Faithfulness flows out of who he is. What a great and awesome God we have. And so Paul would say here to Timothy, hey Timothy, no matter how low your faith gets, no matter how hard it might be to trust in God or to believe in God, know this, God is faithful to you. God is committed to you. God has attached himself to you. It's kind of like you walk the aisle. Now, we had some new members walk the aisle today, and they committed to our local fellowship. But how about the bride that walks the aisle and commits to her husband? They both commit. They make vows to each other. And so, too, as believers, we commit ourselves to God, don't we? When we come to Christ, we say, Jesus, here I am. Here's my life. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. And yet, as we commit our lives to God, we know, don't we, that there are moments when we're not totally faithful to God. We know that we still struggle with sin. And so in our minds, it's easy to think this way, God, you have every right to be unfaithful to me. God, you would be perfectly just to say, I'm going to turn away from you because I've been faithful to you, but you haven't been faithful to me. How many human relationships end up like that, right? Somebody's not as committed or not as faithful, so they say, go on your own way. But God doesn't do that to us as his people. No matter how unfaithful we may be, he remains faithful to us. God has committed himself to you who are in Christ. And so to go against that commitment would be to go against his very nature. And God cannot do that. We often speak of people as acting out of character, right? Someone, boy, they're this way and then they did something. God can never act out of character. He can't do that. And so he's faithful. Well, how should we respond to God's faithfulness? Just a few ways I want us to consider today. And number one is with joy. Is with joy. When you heard those verses from Psalms and from Philippians and from 2 Timothy, did any joy well up in your soul? I hope so. Because if all you can do is just kind of shrug and say, yeah, okay, yeah, God's faithful. Whoop-de-doo. You know, if that's the response you have, then you may want to check your pulse. I don't mean your actual pulse, like your physical pulse, because I think you're all alive. I think you all look pretty good right now. You're all still breathing and alive. But your spiritual pulse, you've been made alive by the power of God. His spirit lives in you. He's awakened you to the beauty of Christ. And is there this joy that springs forth because you know that he is faithful? And the word of God says that he is going to remain faithful. Until when? Until the day of Christ. What was that all about? Well, we know that on the day of Christ, we are in Christ are going to receive what? A new body. These bodies of sin are going to be done away with. When Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? He was longing for that day when he would no longer struggle and wrestle with sin. He would get his new body. He would be in glory. And God says, I'm going to be faithful that I'm going to do that in your life. There's that day coming. And so we can have great hope and great joy. God is going to remain faithful. And when we hear that God is faithful to us, again, that should produce great joy. We should sing, how great is our God, how great is your faithfulness, Lord, when we consider how great it is. Well, number two is it should produce a faithfulness in us. When we consider how faithful God is, we should be faithful in return. And number one, we should be faithful to God. And number two, we should be faithful to each other. Let's start with God. First is we should be faithful toward God. Let me ask you this. When you know someone is in your corner, maybe a parent or a teacher or a friend or a coach, when you know that they're just in your corner no matter what, how do you tend to respond to them? Usually you want to keep going, don't you? You want to keep trying. Even though you may fall, you want to keep going and keep going. You persevere. Think of some of the coaches I had growing up in Little League and my cross-country coach in high school. You just got this sense that he wanted you to do well. He was on your side. He was cheering for you. He was fighting for you. And that made me want to do well for him. It wanted me to keep running and keep running for him, the coach. But how about if the opposite has happened? Maybe you've had a teacher that has maybe, you know, belittled you in front of the whole class, or maybe a coach that just disrespected you in front of everybody, or maybe a friend who turned and walked away from you. As humans, how do we tend to respond to that? We say, well, maybe I'll join a different sport because I don't know if I want to play for that guy, right? Or maybe, a teacher, we say, man, I don't really care what grade I get. I just want to get through this class. Or maybe a friend, and you say, well, I guess that friendship is all done and over with. Now, just so you know, that's not the proper way to respond, right? We shouldn't respond that way. But as humans, there's a tendency to do that, isn't there? When someone's not in our corner, when someone turns away or isn't with us. And yet God is with us. How awesome is it to know that God is always in your corner as a Christian? He's always in your corner. That God is always cheering you on, constantly cheering you on in the Christian race. And many of our hymns speak of God's cheering voice. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Oh, to know that God is cheering us on faithfully, loyal to us, cheering us on, wanting us to grow in Christ and to be more like Christ. Does he warn us at times? Absolutely. Does he say, hey, Eric, get your head out of this world and get it into here. Get your eyes back on me. Get them off yourself. Does God do that? Absolutely. He loves us enough to do that, but he's always cheering us on, wanting us to be faithful, wanting us to persevere in the things of God. And no matter what, God says, I will never turn away from you. I will never give up on you. And so knowing that should cause us to persevere or to be faithful to God. Let's look at one more scripture about the perseverance that comes as a believer. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, or again, being faithful. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And here the Apostle Paul speaks of perseverance in light of suffering, or the early church was being persecuted for their faith. But you know, we could apply that to really any situation in our lives, whether it's difficulties or troubles or doubts, whatever we have, that God wants us to persevere, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to persevere. And God promises to be with us in the midst of that. Well, secondly, is when we think about the faithfulness of God, it ought to produce a faithfulness toward each other, toward other human beings. We see in Galatians 5, when Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things he speaks of is faithfulness. There's love, joy, peace, all those things, but he says faithfulness. And so what the Spirit produces in us as Christians as we grow is not only a faithfulness toward God, but a faithfulness or a commitment to each other within the body of Christ. You could say it this way: our faithfulness toward people should be inspired by God's faithfulness to us. For just like God commands us to love in the same way I have loved you, and to forgive just as I have forgiven you, so too God is saying, be faithful to others in the same way that I'm faithful to you. Let me ask you, how are you doing at being faithful toward others? How are you doing at being faithful toward others? When you stop and think about it, we all have so many different relationships that we are in. I just thought about myself this week, and let's just take me for an example. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a son. I am a brother. I am a friend. I am a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm an employee. And you could go on. And there's all these different relationships that we have. And yet, how am I being faithful in all those different arenas, all those different relationships? Now, I can say that I'm not at odds with anyone. There's no one in my life that I could say, you know what? I'm turning away from you. I want nothing to do with you ever again. There's no one in my life like that. But as I search my heart, you know what? I know there's unfaithfulness in all of those areas of my life. There's not perfect faithfulness. And I'm pretty sure that when you examine your heart and put it under a microscope, you can say, yes, there's areas of unfaithfulness in my heart too toward other people. Then whether it's within the family context or the friend context, we all have degrees of unfaithfulness. And when we stop and consider that, it's easy to get overwhelmed, I think. You know, just by how much we fail. And so what's to keep us from just crawling under a rock and saying, you know what, I just give up on all relationships because I just can't be faithful like I should. Well, here's what should keep us from crawling under a rock, and that is God. Because when we look to God, we see one who is faithful. Therefore, when I fail in relationships, I know that I can keep going on because God is faithful. And when others might be unfaithful to me, I'm to be like God in displaying faithfulness toward them. And so I can, again, look to God. God is the answer. God is the answer to our unfaithfulness. He is faithful. As we close today, it's important to point out that God's faithfulness can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. You see, God is faithful to everyone, every creature. All of his creation, he is faithful to. Now, before you throw any tomatoes at me and thinking I'm slipping into universalism like everybody's saved, listen, what I mean is this, is God is faithful to his own. He's promised them to be with them and to grant them everlasting life. But he's also faithful to the unbeliever because he's promised some things for them as well. We see this in the Old Testament. You heard it this morning in our scripture reading out of Hebrews when God was referring to the people of Israel in the days of Moses, and he promised to them, he swore to them this, you will never enter my rest. Why? Why weren't they allowed to enter his rest? The writer of Hebrews tells us because of unbelief. And so too today, God has promised this to every unbeliever. You shall never enter my rest. You will never enter heaven. And so today I ask each of you to search your own heart and say, what is my belief really like? Is it like the Israelites of old who experienced the power of God? They saw God part the seas. They received provisions from God. Manna from heaven fell down and sustained them for 40 years. And yet they did not believe this God. Do you believe God? Or do you just believe in his benefits? Let me ask you this. Do you want God? Do you want God?
Yes, we do, Pastor.
Amen. Or do you just want all his benefits? You see, the reason Christ came to save us is not just that we could live in a happy place someday with happy people, but so that we could be with him. We could be with God. And so the ultimate question is, do I want God? Do I desire him more than anything in this world? More than any person? More than any stuff? Do I want God? Do I want to see him glorified, magnified? Do I desire to be holy because he is holy? Am I willing to lay down my life because he laid down his life for me? And today, if you can say, no, I don't think I really want God, then turn to God. Because you don't want to experience that the faithfulness of God that says, you shall never see me or be in my presence. So today, if you don't know God, then turn to Jesus by faith. Know that it was your sin that placed Christ upon the cross, and on the cross he bore the wrath of God. God has the power to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you would just turn to Jesus and say, here I am, Lord. Take my life. I'm yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your faithfulness. God, we are just in awe of how faithful you are. Lord, we all experience unfaithfulness in our lives, Lord, people that have been unfaithful to us. And Lord, as we examine our own hearts, we know that we've been unfaithful. Unfaithful in so many different ways to people around us. And unfaithful to you. So God, we glory today in your faithfulness. We thank you that we can just trust in this, have confidence in your faithfulness, and have joy in your faithfulness. And Lord, help us to be faithful people, loyal people. In light of your faithfulness, Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.